Nemoto presents classical music giants. Dmitri Shostakovich, witness of an era. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 12 minutes. In the autumn of 1937, in Moscow, an orchestra sat poised to begin a new symphony. The composer, a thin, bespectacled man with nervous eyes, had been living under the shadow of fear for years. Only 2 years earlier, his opera Lady Macbeth of Mszensk had been denounced in Pravda as muddle instead of music, and since then he had lived expecting a knock at the door, a summons to the Lubyanka prison, or worse. He kept a suitcase packed by the door in case the secret police came in the night. Friends had disappeared, artists had been shot or exiled. And yet here he stood, listening as the opening strains of his Fifth Symphony emerged, music outwardly conforming to the demands of the regime, yet pulsing with a depth of sorrow and irony that listeners instantly understood. That night, the ovation lasted longer than the symphony itself. Dmitri Shostakovich, at once loyal citizen and hidden dissenter, had found a way to survive through sound. Dmitri Dmitrievich Shostakovich was born in 1906 in St. Petersburg, the city of the Tsars. His family was educated but not wealthy. His father worked in engineering, his mother was a piano teacher. From an early age, Dmitri showed prodigious musical gifts. He could play the piano with astonishing facility, and at 13, he entered the Petrograd Conservatory. His teacher was Alexander Glazunov, who quickly recognized his brilliance. Shostakovich's student works already revealed his sharp ear, his sense of irony, and his ability to absorb and reshape influences. In 1926, at the age of 19, he premiered his first symphony as his graduation piece. It was a sensation. The music was brash, witty, filled with energy, yet also profound. Critics hailed it as the voice of a new Soviet generation. Shostakovich became a star overnight, celebrated as the model of a young artist in the new socialist society. He followed it with a string of works that mixed modernism with satire. Ballets like The Golden Age, The Bolt, and The Limpid Stream, each filled with biting rhythms and ironic commentary. His opera Lady Macbeth of Mszensk, premiered in 1934, was his greatest triumph yet. Audiences loved its raw emotion, its daring harmonies, its depiction of passion and violence. For a brief moment, Shostakovich seemed untouchable. But Stalin himself attended a performance in 1936. The dictator was appalled. Days later, Pravda published a scathing editorial condemning the opera. Suddenly, Shostakovich went from hero to pariah. Performances of his works were canceled. Friends warned him to be careful. He lived in terror, sleeping in the hallway so that if the secret police came for him, they would not disturb his family. Yet, miraculously, he survived the purges that swallowed so many of his colleagues. His response came with the Fifth Symphony, subtitled A Soviet Artist's Reply to Just Criticism. On the surface, it was everything the regime wanted: clear melodies, triumphant climaxes, heroic spirit. But audiences heard something more. They heard suffering in the slow movement, irony in marches, defiance in the final blaze of sound. Many wept openly. Shostakovich had spoken to them in a secret language, one the authorities thought was praise, but the people understood as truth. This double voice, public compliance, private resistance, would define his career. In 1941, when Nazi Germany invaded the Soviet Union, Shostakovich composed his Seventh Symphony, the Leningrad. Written during the siege, it became a symbol of resistance, performed even in the starving city itself. The score was flown over enemy lines and broadcast around the world, hailed as the sound of defiance against fascism. Shostakovich appeared on the cover of Time magazine, wearing a fireman's helmet. He was a hero of the free world. And yet, after the war, his fortunes turned again. In 1948, the regime launched a campaign against formalism in music. Shostakovich was condemned once more, stripped of his positions, humiliated publicly. Many of his works were banned. He was forced to write simple, cheerful pieces for children, patriotic cantatas praising Stalin, and film scores that towed the line. But even then, he smuggled his true voice into his music. His string quartets, often written for private performance, became diaries of his inner life, full of irony, grief, coded messages. They show Shostakovich at his most personal, revealing depths that his symphonies could not always safely express. When Stalin died in 1953, Shostakovich was freed from the most immediate terror, but the scars remained. His 10th Symphony, premiered that year, was widely heard as a portrait of the dictator and of survival. Its violent scherzo seemed to embody Stalin himself, its finale, a cautious triumph. Throughout the 1950s and 1960s, he continued to walk the line between public duty and private truth. He wrote more symphonies, concertos, and chamber works, each carrying multiple layers of meaning. To the authorities, they were patriotic. To audiences, they were honest, sometimes despairing reflections of Soviet life. Shostakovich's music has often been described as tragic, ironic, even grotesque. He loved to quote melodies, to twist them into parodies, to set laughter and horror side by side. He could write a march that sounded triumphant and mocking at the same time. He could write a lullaby that turned into a scream. His symphonies span the range of human experience, from the grandeur of the 7th to the bleak introspection of the 15th, his final one, written in 1971. As a man, he was shy, nervous, often physically ill, plagued by tremors and insomnia. He chain-smoked, drank heavily, and lived with constant anxiety. He disliked public speaking, yet was often forced to read official statements he did not believe. He joined the Communist Party, reluctantly, in 1960, many believe under pressure. And yet, through it all, he remained dedicated to composing. He filled his music with coded references, his own musical monogram, DSCH, D, E-flat, C, B in German notation, appears again and again, a signature hidden in the notes. He wrote for friends, for colleagues, for posterity, knowing that his true voice might only be fully understood after his death. Shostakovich died in 1975, mourned as one of the greatest composers of the century. By then, his reputation was secure both in Russia and abroad. His works had become symbols of resistance, honesty, and endurance under tyranny. His legacy is vast. 15 symphonies, 15 string quartets, concertos, operas, film scores, piano music, and songs. Each bears the stamp of his unique voice, bitter, lyrical, ironic, courageous. Today, when we listen to Shostakovich, we hear more than music. We hear a chronicle of a century of terror and survival. We hear the laughter that hides tears, the triumph that conceals defiance, the sorrow of millions transmuted into sound. His symphonies are not just concert pieces, they are monuments, testaments to human endurance. And yet his music is not only tragic. It is also deeply human, full of humor, tenderness, and love. His waltz's charm, his scherzo's sparkle, his slow movements ache with beauty. He could write a song for children that is still sung today, or a quartet that leaves listeners in tears. He was not a philosopher like Schoenberg, not a stylistic chameleon like Stravinsky, not a melodist like Prokofiev. He was something else, a witness. Through his music, he bore witness to the horrors and the hopes of his time. Shostakovich once said, "If they cut off both my hands, I will still write music holding the pen in my teeth." That spirit, defiant, ironic, unbreakable, runs through his work. He remains a giant not only for his compositions but for his courage, his ability to speak truth in a language that censors could not silence. When you hear the opening of the Fifth Symphony, the pounding rhythms of the Seventh, the bleak questions of the 15th, you hear not only Dmitri Shostakovich, but an entire people. His voice is their voice, their fear, their resilience, their endurance. Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Giants.